Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the cabinet meeting on Thursday, the 3rd of November 2022. I'm sure you're all pleased to have me back, given the time missed last meeting. And so, could I invite you to confirm that the Deputy Leader, Councillor Burke, can sign the minutes of the 6th of October meeting as well?
Yeah.
Thank you. There are no apologies, no questions, and so moving straight on into each of the portfolios, can I please invite Councillor Mark Winton to introduce the first item?
Thank you, Leader. This is a report, and basically we want that the Cabinet approve a request from Stafford Tax Association on behalf of the active carriage proprietors for an increase in fares. Now, in terms of taxis and taxi drivers, we've had a significant loss of licensed drivers since the COVID-19 pandemic. Indeed, sadly, two members of the trade have died. So the overall decline has been in the region of 26% to 30%. So we are losing taxi drivers at a quite frightening rate, really. In terms of our relationship to the corporate business objectives, we do have put down a responsibility to provide a safe, clean, attractive place to live, work, and it includes obviously taxis within that. Quite simply, the proposal is that we add 40 pence to the initial payment. That's before a taxi actually moves, so I think it's 340 and another 40p on top. And that will help the drivers to carry on delivering the service for the residents of Stafford Borough Council. We have done a check against the National Hackney Fair Table. Just two examples, Canet Chase with their new fare rate will be £6.40. And that puts them at 170 to 187 out of local authorities, so somewhere about halfway. And Stafford are looking to take it from, for a 2 mile journey, from up to £6.50 for a journey. And that puts us ranking as 161 to 166 out of 355 authorities listed. So we are midway on the league table with that. So the proposal from me is that A, the revised scale of charges set out in Appendix 1 for Hackney Carriages licensed by the council be approved, and that B, the revised charges be implemented from Monday, November 7th, 2022. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd just like to say I wasn't aware that we had lost such a high proportion of drivers. So that was an interesting thing that was raised. And obviously, in terms of the fact that the taxi requires petrol and so on, we know of the effect on the local drivers because of that. And so certainly I would support the proposal. Does anybody else want to say anything?
Will you support those proposals?
Thank you. So that's supported. So the items of 2.1 are confirmed. So moving on then, please, to the next item on the agenda. And as I wasn't at the last Cabinet meeting, can I welcome Councillor Smith back to the Cabinet. Lovely to see you here again. And on that note, I would invite you to introduce the report starting on page 11 of the charges.
Well, thank you for those kind words, Leader. It's good to be back. And hope I can stay for as long as I need to. Report on fees and charges change every year at the 1st of January, and the council's constitution allows for the officers to make changes to fees and charges except when the increases are above inflation, or if they're new, or where there's been a past specific decision by the council to set a charge. And for the purposes of inflation in our constitution, we use the Retail Prices Index, which was 12.3% in August, which was the published data when the report was written. It rose actually to 12.6% in September. The report makes recommendations that the new charges set out in paragraph 5.5 and increases above 12.3% set out in 5.6, and they are in the appendix. The general increase across the board is 5%, subject to rounding to the nearest sensible figure. And obviously 5% is less than half the rate of inflation. The council's costs are rising fast, and given the high level inflation, but the cabinet is mindful of the impact of these large increases in fees and charges on both individual residents and businesses and the local economy. So these increases that we have put forward, 5%, is modest in comparison to inflation. Of particular note are the proposed freeze in the charge for garden waste, the proposed freeze in car parking charges, and together with no increase in charges for taxi licences or street markets, these should help to protect our customers insofar as we are able from the rising cost of living. If you've read through the report in detail, including the list of all the fees and charges, you will see letters against the VAT column, and the details of those, the meanings of those letters are fully explained on page 70. Other cabinet members may wish to comment on the individual increases in their portfolio. But to summarise, Chairman, the increase is 5% in general, with a freeze on those items which I indicated. Thank you.
Thank you. Before I call for anybody else to comment, I'd just like to thank all of our officers and all of our staff for the very hard work that they do annually in assisting us with this. Of course, we've all had to understand the current economy and the current issues, and we've had to make some really tough decisions. But I welcome Councillor Smith's confirmation that we are freezing parking charges and branding collections because we recognise, whilst we do have hard decisions to make, we're trying to reduce any impact as far as we can on local residents. Would anybody like to comment particularly, Councillor Pert?
Thank you, Leader, and good to see you back. I just wanted to say three things about fees and charges. It's always a balance trying to get fees and charges right, and I think that this year in particular, because of the impact that is being seen by many residents already in the community based on the cost of living squeeze, I think this is a really tight and difficult balance, and I actually welcome the proposals to freeze car parking charges and the brown bin charge, and I'm sure that many significant numbers within our communities will welcome the balance that has been put forward here, and actually I think they will support the plans that we have as a borough to support the High Street as well, because we need footfall in the High Street, and as it migrates into a mixed economy, I think it's really important to support it on that journey. So I think we've got the right balance here, and I welcome the proposals from the Cabinet Member.
Councillor Winnington.
Yeah, just very quickly, it's within the report, page 13. Amongst it, one or two new charges, but the one that's really, I think, important, and it gives an indication of the direction as a borough council that we're heading. We have reduced the electric hybrid plug-in vehicle licences for taxi carriages down to £200, whereas the normal rate is £230. And this, as I said, is in line with our objectives
thank you,
be positive towards climate change.
Good point to make, thank you. Are we happy to accept Councillor Smith's proposals?
Yes.
Thank you, and of course this will go to Councillor. Okay, thank you. Can we move on to the next item then, please? Starting on page 76. Again, it's you, Councillor Smith.
Yeah, thank you very much. This is an update on the risk register. You'll see from the table at the front that there has been no change in the number of risks and no change in the scoring of those risks in relation to whether they are red, amber or green. The main change has been an increase in the risk of the first item, which is C1, the funding available to the council from central government. At this time of the year, this risk always increases because of the uncertainty that we get. We don't know what the local government settlement is. Last year it came out just before Christmas. We're hoping it'll be a bit before that this year, but we never know. As I say, that's sort of highlighted on page 84, but on page 86 you will see that the Chief Executive and the Head of Finance and all local authorities are lobbying government ministers, because this uncertainty spreads across the whole of local government. And it is extremely important that the government recognises the difficulties that local authorities are in. And, for example, those local authorities who already run or still run their own leisure facilities, they will have huge increases in their costs, and as will our operator. And the government needs to recognise that and help out in those areas. So, as I say, the report hasn't really changed a lot from last time. The other risks, you can read the various steps that have been taken to mitigate them, but the first item has increased in risk, but that is normal for this time of year.
Thank you. Any comments? I'm happy to accept the approval of the report.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can we then please move on to the next item under item C? And Councillor Price, please.
Oh, yeah, thank you, Leader. Firstly, I'd like to say, despite how difficult the financial situation local authorities are finding themselves in, we are still delivering the climate change and green recovery work that we committed to. So this particular report provides an update on the activities that have been undertaken by this council in relation to climate change and green recovery. It was agreed the process report be submitted to full council to outline the activities that have taken place to deliver against the council's climate change objectives. And the full report contained in section 5 and details of work that's been undertaken, and I will highlight some of those because I think it's really important to talk about those. So just before I do talk about those things that we have done over the last 12 months, I just wanted to thank Dr. Tracy Redpath and Eleanor, of course, for the huge amount of work that they've done. Very small team, have done an awful lot on this, so very, very grateful. A considerable amount of progress has been made over the past 12 months in relation to delivery of our climate change objectives. So climate change commitment, and the leader of the council, yourself, Councillor Farrington, has reaffirmed your commitment to climate change earlier in the year, and you've implemented a new cabinet position with the sole responsibility for climate change. and I'm grateful for you giving me that position. We've been reducing emissions from our own activities, and members will recall that a carbon audit was commissioned last year to audit the carbon balance of our council activities. And this audit is currently being refreshed, and the figures from last year, along with this year's, will be utilised to determine the target reductions that we need to achieve in order to add to that work. We've also been working in partnership, and this is quite a broad area of work for the council, as it recognises that we cannot achieve carbon reductions on our own. It is everybody's responsibility to do what they can to help protect our planet. The council is now a member of the Staffordshire Sustainability Board, set up in the latter part of 2021, and the board comprises of representatives from each council within Staffordshire with a sustainability or a climate change portfolio, and includes support from council offices, directors and additional council staff as and when required. Our local area energy planning. We also have a community panel. A community panel was set up earlier this year and now consists of 15 members who are passionate about climate change and green recovery. And I do enjoy working with those. Climate change mitigation and adaptation. And we recently took a paper through Cabinet on mitigation and adaptation. Green recovery. One of the main areas of success under this objective has been the success of the funding application of £4.1 million to develop the Stafford Brooks project in partnership with Staffordshire Wildlife Trust, the Environment Agency and National Highways. In addition to this, a new local nature reserve was declared by the council earlier in the year, and as part of that, 750 trees have been planted on it by council staff and volunteers, including members of the community panel. A further 250 trees have also been planted at Westbridge Park in Stone. We also recognise the cost of living crisis, and the council has been allocated a limited amount of funding from the Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy to proactively target private rented accommodation to improve energy efficiency and reduce and remove fuel poverty. And lastly, benchmarking. So during the last 12 months period, this council has participated in the West Midlands Self-Assessment Sustainability Benchmarking exercise. There is more information in the document should anybody listening wish to read it, and that will be posted online shortly. But that's it for now. Thank you, Leader.
Thank you. Just in passing, I'm pleased to note that we rank in presumably the first quartile, just about, of local authorities in relation to the benchmarking exercise. So that's a really good sign. Well, thank you. Any comments?
Thank you very much, Peter. I'm pleased to hear Councillor Price's report. It's excellent. And I want to echo what he said about it's not just the council's job.
Yeah.
We're all in this together. And it's a point I've made several times at full council. Everybody needs to do their bit. I just add that in my ward and Councillor Willington's ward, we have the Bifor experiment on climate change, and the fact that they planted 430,000 trees in that ward, in that area. That particular company has now bought another farm in Nosal and intends to plant trees on that farm as well. Of that same order, hundreds of thousands of trees. So at least somebody is doing something about it other than the council.
Okay, well, thank you very much. We're happy to support that. Councillor Purdy, do you want to add something?
Yeah, I did. Thank you, Leader. I thought we should just celebrate two things. The first thing I thought we should just celebrate is the significant work that's gone into this report, but also all the activities that sit behind it. The report is fine, it's a great report, and I'm sure will be the foundations for many years to come, but actually, you know, it's all that activity that's happening behind the scenes, and that often people don't see, but also the fact that it interlinks across the council's activities, not just in one stream of activities. That's the first thing, and I just wanted to sort of pay tribute to the work that's being led by the cabinet member and all members of the officers who have been involved with this, and say what a great job I thought they've done on this. The second thing I wanted to do was also just to celebrate all the people, and Mike touches on one of those, right at the far extreme. 436,000 trees is a big chunk of trees. But there are lots of other organisations like Trentham Estates, for example, who've planted 10,000 trees, and the more we can encourage those people and share that practice and best practice, that is the way that we will find a long-term sustainable way out of climate change. But I did want to celebrate those two elements.
Thank you very much. So we're happy to confirm to update the report, isn't it? So
yeah.
And then moving, please, on to the last item, the minimum energy efficiency standards report in the rental sector, Councillor Burt.
Thank you, Leader. I think we all recognise, and we've reflected it a couple of times this evening already, the impact of increased energy prices that is having on all households. And arguably that is felt particularly heavily on those people and households in less stable, with less stable incomes and less stable housing situations. One of the ways of mitigating some of the increases is to ensure that people use less through having more energy efficient homes. So separately, last year we created the Borough Council a framework for encouraging landlords within the private rented sector to invest in maintaining their homes for the benefit, for their own benefit as well as for the benefit of their residents. Now there are some regulations from 2015, commonly called MEES, Minimum Energy Efficiency Standards, and that apply to the private rented sector. And the proposal here is to implement these as part of the existing framework we created last year, and to include these minimum energy efficiency standards. I have to say in passing, however, our plan is not to penalise landlords as they fulfil a vital role within the borough. And we will and we will continue to engage and work with landlords if they want to work with us. But if they choose to disadvantage our residents and their residents, then we must be compelled to act, and this framework allows us to do so. And in reference, there is about 400 to 500 properties that would benefit from improving their energy efficiency levels. And it is hoped that this policy that we bring before you this evening will allow us to do so. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody have any comments? Thank you very much. We're happy to adopt the scheme proposed.
Support that.
Well, thank you, everybody. That brings to an end the current meeting for the 3rd of November.